A recent study in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene has found that more than 2,000 reports of misinformation and rumours have been circulated during the COVID-19 pandemic, from drinking bleach to a theory that the virus was created in a lab as a bioweapon. The study shows that misinformation has spread in the media and online in dozens of different languages with deadly consequences. Holly Seal is a senior lecturer at the School of Public Health and Community Medicine at the University of New South Wales and co-author of this study. Welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you.
Your study breaks down thousands of false reports fuelled by the coronavirus. What are some of the most common sort of theories and rumours that emerged and gained traction during the pandemic?
Yeah, look, we covered both rumours, stigma and the conspiracy theories. And, you know, some of these were kind of, I suppose, not so unexpected. Stories about, you know, taking higher doses of vitamins or, you know, using different kind of mineral solutions to boost your immunity. Others related to more kind of herbal remedies, the use of cow's urine or dung in some parts of Asia. You know, so these were, you know, probably, you know, strategies that probably didn't have really any effect on people's immunity, of course, but, you know, others were more concerning, and they related to, you know, the conspiracy theories around how this pandemic emerged and, you know, what were the, you know, why were the reasonings behind, you know, the spread in different countries?
Given the proliferation of all of this misinformation, I've got to say 2,000 in total seems like not all that much. I mean, are you saying that's the sum total of it, or that's just what you looked at?
So remember, this study was only done in a period of between December and April. So a very short time period, really, when we think about the whole scale of the pandemic. And, you know, probably there have been, you know, further surges in the number of, you know, misinformation being circulated and may have been in other languages also beyond what we were able to review for this paper.
You've connected this some of the misinformation with actual deaths and injuries. What are your estimates?
Yeah, look, so we estimated around 800 deaths, but again, we think this is probably tip of the iceberg. These were the deaths that, of course, were reported in newspaper articles or in other online websites. And so we may not have captured all of them, but that is still a concerning number, that there were 800 deaths associated with some sort of rumour or, you know, even around the stigma that people were taking their own lives because they were so upset about being a COVID positive case. Beyond the deaths, we also were able to capture information related to hospitalizations and to ongoing health conditions. And these related to things like people taking excessive amounts of alcohol or some sort of cleaning product to try and either protect themselves or to rid themselves of having of COVID-19. And so there have been cases of blindness reported in some countries, which will now be a lifelong issue for these people.
And did you look at the origin of these rumours, this misinformation at all? Was that part of your investigation?
So we know that these rumours were identified across the world, but the majority of them did originate out of India, the United States, China, Spain, Indonesia, and also Brazil. So there were some common denominators, but as you said earlier, we found them in a range of languages and across a range of different platforms.
And spread largely through social media, but also mainstream media. What do you look at that too?
Yeah, we did look at both platforms. And so what we know about misinformation, that, you know, it may start in the form of a tweet, but because of who it originates from, say, you know, the tweet that we saw from Donald Trump about using a cleaning product inappropriately, you know, that tweet, of course, will get picked up into mainstream media because of who it is. And so we have seen this over and over again with social influencers who may tweet out something that they consider as a possible strategy, putting out a rumor, but because of their network of followers, it will go you know, and be widespread.
Are you able to look at or calculate the impact of someone like Donald Trump or the Brazilian president promoting some of these theories?
Well, we know how many, you know, we know how far and wide their networks do go in terms of how people believe them. That was beyond the scope of this work, but that's a really important next step in what needs to be done. And there are groups all around the world now looking at this particular issue, including the World Health Organization that recently ran a virtual conference bringing together experts to try and talk about, you know, possible solutions for this infodemic and how to counteract these conspiracy theories and these rumors that are circulating.
Yeah, what's your view on how governments should deal with this, how authorities should deal with this? I mean, Australia's not been immune to some of these conspiracy theories, from politicians to quite high-profile influencers. People in popular culture have promoted many of these things. Should we be taking a harder line on it?
Yeah, so what we know with this kind of problem is that we need to do it in a multiple different ways. That, you know, we need to work with the platforms themselves and get them to strengthen their rules and regulations around this information. And
But the platforms say they take it seriously, but any day of the week you can jump on any tech platform and find this stuff proliferating.
Yeah, and that has been a problem. But, you know, my understanding is that they are actually coming to the party with this. And so some groups have looked at this issue and have actually tried to now see whether information, say, about one of the, you know, one of the conspiracy theories around 5G.
Can I just test that, though? Because, I mean, I'm very aware that if you talk to Facebook or you talk to Twitter, they will point you to the policies that they're implementing and say we no longer have any tolerance for this stuff. But if you look at the comment thread on any article about COVID-19, its origin, its sources, the epidemiology, just about, you will find people chiming in with all this conspiracy theory nonsense. I mean, how genuine are these tech giants, do you think, in taking this seriously?
Look, I agree. You know, they will only go so far, you know, and that, you know, they can put up the policies and they can implement things. But, you know, really for some of these rumours, even their strategies aren't going to be able to get rid of all of the circulating misinformation out there. And that is when we need that kind of twofold attack on this. And so it would be then at a local government, at a federal level, to actually then also have a strategy around that. And their strategy may be around, you know, a stronger communication messages going out there, not necessarily just trying to debunk the myth, but also just trying to highlight where you can access credible sources and, you know, where you can get maybe information that is tailored to you or your language to try and counteract this. And there's a group in the UK at the moment trying to work on a way of trying to inoculate people against these conspiracy theories. And that's kind of an unusual use of the word inoculate, but that is what we're trying to get to, is to try and to highlight to people to try and work up a way that we can highlight how, you know, almost ridiculous some of these conspiracy theories are, but in a way that breaks them down, shows them that, you know, the people that are putting these conspiracy theories together can't be trusted, that the platforms that they are using to circulate the materials are not appropriate, and you know, using those kind of counter messages so that people can come to the realization themselves about how these conspiracy theories are not right.
Holly Seal, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Holly Seal is a senior lecturer at the School of Public Health and Community Medicine at the University of New South Wales and co-author of this study on coronavirus theories and misinformation in the American Journal of Tropical Medicine.